5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
Thank you. that's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working. That's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Money for nothing. Chicks for free. Money for nothing.
The all-new Panic Room Radio Show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, one and all. Yes, I'm really enjoying that. I haven't heard that for a long time. That is our longest intro so far. So one for the Guinness World Records, Book of World Records of Records sort of thing. So it is Thursday I'm going to have to check. It's March already, 15th of March. Episode 85 of the old Panic Room, I'm going to call it now. I have to change the name. So greetings, listener, and it's all going on. It's apparently, I don't know. It may not be. But I know we've all missed her. Even me. I thought I'd bring you on a little bit early tonight, Xtina. How are you this evening, my dear?
Well, I don't think it is early because we had like a 10-minute song, so it's not early.
No, don't right exaggerate. Don't exaggerate. It's only eight minutes, actually.
Oh, okay.
What a great tune. Hmm?
I know, and when I say I'd like to hear a song or something, I always try to shy away from the longer ones. Like, I would love to hear Stay With Me. It's called Rod Stewart. I love that song, but it's like crazy long. I can't find a version of it that's not like
crazy long. And I'm tempted. I wanted the Roll Over Beethoven by the Electric Light Orchestra, and it's over 10 minutes long. I mean, it's a hell of a tune. Great, 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 great tune.
Wasn't that crazy long?
Quite possibly. Some of them are. I suppose it depends what version. I mean, we've had Bohemian Rhapsody on. That's a pretty long one as well.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. rock on, dude. I feel like, you know, throwing my I don't know.
So, hey, it is. It has. It's been a week. Bit of a sad week. We've lost some greats this week. For anybody who listened in England, we lost Ken Dodd, a brilliant comedian. Who I remember through all my, he was 90, bless him. He'd been going a long time. And of course, we lost Sir Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
Professor Stephen Hawking, which was sad, you know. I mean, as a bit of a hero of mine was Steve, mm-hmm. as I call him. It's sad. I mean, he did well. I mean, had a good innings, obviously, with the Lou Gehrig's disease he suffered from. They prognosis was he wouldn't see 30, so to get to 76 was bloody good going. So, but yeah, great guy. I've read some of his work. I read Brief History of Time, which blew my mind, to be honest with you. You know, brilliantly fascinating. But I read, you know, some of his articles, bits and pieces as well, and great stuff. Great. So probably all because he didn't talk much about baseball, probably a little bit above your skin. So
I didn't say that, no.
But it's rather ironically, rather ironically, obviously it's all happening on Facebook, and some wag posted a joke on a particular. It was supposedly a tweet from God saying, Stephen Hawking's just proved to me that I don't exist to my face. And I thought that was funny. That was great. And below this, somebody had, in all earnestness, had posted, oh, that's not true. You do exist. And I thought, hang on a minute. I said, hang on a minute. So you think this is God tweeting? Really?
If it is,
he's only got 1,300 likes. So as the world's lamest deity has only got 1,300 likes, so you're a bit of a tool, aren't you? You know, I can't imagine God tweeting, you know.
I'm telling you, I have been trying to stay away from social media. Anytime something, you know, because the ugliness, people can be so ugly, and I've seen some really crude jokes out there, and I don't think they're funny. I really don't. And
well, you know, we have discussed this before on the show. You know, humor is the way we, as a as a species, we deal with things that scare us, like death. Somebody famous dies, and it's a nudge to everyone that hey, you know, this is going to happen to you. You know, in fact, I was reading an article about Stephen Hawking, and he lived with the specter of death hanging over him. And well, yeah, we all do, to be honest.
Right. Yeah.
You know, whether you're ill or not, you know, when somebody, it's like a, you know, a close family member. It's somebody who's public, and you like say English comedian. Yeah. I was a big fan of Ken Dodd. Known actually for just overrunning his shows. He'd like do stand up shows like 5 hours. I mean, he was just renowned for it. And you know, it's the same principle. You know, it is just a slap in the face. Like, boy, you know, bucko, this is gonna happen to you one day. And it's like, yeah. So you know, the humor comes out. You know, days after 9/11, the jokes were out, and it's how people deal with it, you know.
It's just some I think are just in such bad taste, you know. And
it depends. Some people, and again, it's you know, on the comedy scene, you know, some comedians just do it to try and be controversial, you know.
Yeah.
Others,
definitely.
You know, it can be done intelligently, and it can be funny, you know. It can be. I mean, we were talking earlier, you know, make a joke about Casey Anthony, you know, and that you know, I've made those jokes. I've been on stage and, you know, said, you know, I'm on the out tonight because Casey Anthony was free tonight and she looked after the kids. because it's a big thing. As a parent, you laugh but deep down you think, shit, you know, that happened to a child, you know, but it's how we deal with it. So don't judge these people. It's the people who judge the judges, you know, and the moralistic people and the religious people. I mean, I'm not going to be getting to God bashing, but it's the religious people are the worst. They're
yes.
so,
no, I agree.
So
they really
fucking
are.
Judgmental about everything. They think because they've read one book, that they know everything. Well, you know, if you're listening, read more than one book, people. You know, there's been several books written over the over the years. So pick one of those up. You know, why not? I can recommend A Brief History of Time. It will blow your mind. It really will.
Yeah.
So here endeth the lecture. You know, it's been.
Yeah, I don't need any more
lectures. We have our own small tribute to Professor Hawking at the end of the show. So we will make sure we finish in time for that. So there you have it. So speaking of the show, I no idea what's going. Oh, I do have an idea. Actually, we have a horror author TJ Weeks, who we had on many moons ago, and we have a mystery guest. So I'm moistened by the thought of having it. Oh, and quick name check. Chris Roy's mum, Mrs. Roy, if you're listening tonight, she does listen to the show. Thank you for listening, and it's lovely to have you as a listener. Thank you. So there
okay,
you go.
I have to wonder how you got to, you're feeling moistened to all of a sudden, oh, Chris Roy's mum. That was a really weird segue. What?
Well, yeah, no, thank you for pointing that out and making me feel awkward. It's my ephemeral brain that does such bizarre. It just sparks things off. And shall we move on quickly? What is happening?
We should.
No,
yeah.
We've got that. We have Becky the Review. We have India Corner. She's going to be reviewing a book she's been reading. It's great. I'm so proud she's bringing scary books home from the library now. It's brilliant. So she's going to be a proper little. She loves a horror film. She does love a horror. But having said that, you know, we had a movie night the other night. We watched Despicable Me 3. So she sort of oscillates between stuff like that and like It and Annabelle. And then, oh, yeah, I want to watch Cat in the Hat. So we're all over at the moment.
She's badass. She really is. She is. She's badass. The spiders and snakes and. Yeah, she's pretty cool. Yeah, well, sea bears aren't scary, but spiders. I'm still stuck on the spiders. I gotta give her major props for that. That's so
But they are so sweet. They are so sweet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
In a spidery sort of way.
Yeah.
So hey. So this is a first for us. We're actually gonna call a guest. So I hope he's in. I hope he's not on the toilet or something. So here we go. It'll be so embarrassing, wouldn't it? So here we go. Hopefully we'll be getting TJ on. This is exciting, isn't it?
It is. Are we going to hear, like, ringing and stuff? I want to hear ringing. Does it do that?
No, I don't know. Apparently, here we go. It's the first for us. So hopefully we have TJ on the line. Are you there, sir?
Pretty good. How y'all doing?
Yay,
hey, there
it works. Good. How are you, sir? Excellent. I'm great.
Pretty good, actually.
This is the first time we've actually called a guest. So, and it worked. So modern technology, you know, it's not let us down for once. You know?
Yeah, we're not going to talk bad about AT&T tonight.
TJ is here. You have been on the show. I mean, it was a long time ago since you were last on the show. So how have you been since? Have you been busy?
Oh, yeah, very busy. We done moved and we're starting to open up a barbecue place and we're actually just got back home very shortly ago because we're actually doing a big old catering Saturday. So we've been setting up tables and chairs and all that good stuff.
Oh, wow.
Barbecue.
Wow.
I'm hungry now.
I want ribs. I want a rack of ribs right now with applesauce. Thank you.
I like coleslaw.
I'm actually going to have ribs. Have all kinds of
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, I do. I like both, actually. I must admit, whenever I go, because they you have to make a choice as well. No, I want both. Thank you. You know, open a jar of apple sauce. What's it going to cost you? About 50 cents? I mean, don't be cheap, I say. And there's many restaurants in Houston now that I'm not welcome in. So there you go. There you go. So, TJ, you're here to talk to us about Horror Squad Book 4, which is was released yesterday.
Yesterday, wasn't it yesterday? Yeah.
It was yesterday.
It became available on Kindle today.
Ooh.
Fantastic.
Yep.
So it's fresh off the virtual press, which is brilliant. So tell us a little bit more about it, sir.
Well, as far as the Horror Squad goes, I've been writing it for a few years now. And, of course, my wife, she's a co-writer with me. She writes all the .5, so right now there's the 1, 1.5, 2, 2.5, 3, 3.5, and now we have 4 out, so.
I did not know that she wrote with you. We should have had her on the show, too. How come I don't know these things?
We have a mini-series that's branched off of it that she's been working on. It's the short stories that's on each character and what led them to our group. And then we have the comic books that started releasing out. Comic book one's out, and we have another one that's supposed to be coming out here in the near future. We got an anthology of it that just released out this past year. And it's supposed to be going to film, man. We're actually waiting to hear back on it as far as a more of a specific date for when that's going to film. So.
Oh, fantastic!
Wow,
it's going to be so you with that and moving and doing the business, but you basically don't sleep, or you've invented an extra 2 days on the week. That's brilliant.
Oh yeah, I've been working ranches and helping my dad out a lot, and you know, honestly, I really haven't had a whole lot of time to be able to sit down and write. It's kind of slimmed up with me a lot. You know, my dad actually got cancer last year, and he had to go through surgeries and the different chemo treatments and all that. And he's actually supposed to be going back this coming up month to make sure that it's all still clear. So we moved down here to be closer to him and be able to help him out.
Wow.
Awesome.
Definitely. So you've been really busy.
Yeah. So I have to ask. I couldn't imagine. I spent back in England. I spent 10 years working on a number of businesses with my wife, and after which I swore I would never work with her again, because she's just a bully. She made me work. She made me do shit. You know what I mean? She was a slave driver, like you wouldn't believe. How do you find? I mean, co-writing is a bit alien for me anyway. But co-writing with your wife, how do you find that? Does it cause friction, or do you sort of synchronize well together?
We actually do pretty well together. I mean, we got a whole nerd book that we're writing together, and it's going to be a pretty thick book. It's called Chasing Z's, and, you know, really, we just sat down, and I bring my ideas into the book, and she brings her ideas to it, and we just kind of put it up as notes, and, you know, we'll kind of play the story out and kind of see, you know, what would work best, and, you know, some occasions we were able to use all of it. Some occasions, you know, we just kind of push that idea to maybe something else.
I have a question about the Horror Squad. You know, this is zombies, right? It's zombies, but they're called rotters in the books. What, you know, with things like The Walking Dead and, you know, all the different zombie, you know, things that are out there, what makes it different? What makes the Horror Squad? I mean, did you just maybe not like the, you know, the way that zombies were portrayed, and you decided I'm going to do it my own way, or, you know?
We started writing the Horror Squad before The Walking Dead. Well, I say before the TV show ever, you know, started playing out and all that. So, you know, I really didn't know anything about The Walking Dead whenever we started writing the Horror Squad. And then, you know, and too long after that, you know, it kind of just blew up. And you know, it's the same way as I have a story called The Bloodlands. And then it probably wasn't even a couple months later, you know, they came out with a TV show called The Badlands. So I was like, oh, man, I hope this doesn't follow. So, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, really, with the Horror Squad, it wasn't something I ever planned on writing. It's nothing I ever planned on publishing. You know, basically just I had so many friends and fans that hit me up, and they just wanted me to write into the zombie genre. And, you know, it really wasn't something I had planned on tapping into. So I really just kind of was being a smart ass, and I went through and, And so all the characters are friends, family, and fans. And I was just going to give the story away, you know. Like I said, I never planned on publishing it or anything else. And then, you know, it's just one of those things I started writing. And, you know, like I actually individually know each one of these characters personally, you know. So, I mean, there's actually many conversations that's part of the horror squad that we've actually had face-to-face.
That's
so
cool. I like that.
It was just one of those things that kind of took off from there, you know, as far as kind of getting personal, you know. So, anyways, and then going from that to all these books later.
I think it's amazing. Writers, I mean, your characters sort of, you know, they start off as a vague idea, and the more you write, and they take on a life of their own, which is. And I've said this before, you know, unless it's just me, you know, I find myself sort of wondering, you know, I wonder what so-and-so's doing or what happened to him or whatever, you know, it's like, you make them up, but they're real, you know, and it's awesome, you know, it's a great moment when that happens, when your characters go, see, it's like, I suppose having a child, you know, and they're off out into the big wide world, so, you know, I birthed that.
Unless it's just me, You know, I mean, like I said, I know all these people individually, so, I mean, you know, and like real life, so, I mean, writing this was actually part of the easiest thing I've ever wrote just because of the fact, I mean, it was pretty much just jotting down exact conversations that we all have and, you know, just adding zombies as a backdrop, you know. But then, you know, you got to have your deaths and you've got to bring in your zombies and all that, so it was almost like flipping a quarter to see, you know, like, all right, who's going to die?
Awesome. I want to hear more. Do you have a reading ready for us?
Yes. my computer's not working with me real well, so we'll see how this works. this is actually a segment off of Horror Squad 1. I figured y'all would probably want to hear that more than Horror Squad 4 for the people that hasn't ever read the Horror Squad at all. So,
awesome.
You'll have to excuse my language. This is pretty... I usually write pretty graphic, of course.
We're rated R, so you're free to say anything you want.
Oh, y'all might be rated X at the end.
We're good with that. We're okay with that.
All right, guys, what do you suggest we hit up today, I asked. If the world had any hope of going back to normal, I'd say a goddamn bank, Gizmo stated. Hell yeah, we'd be sitting fat, Steven replied. I laughed. So it wasn't the answer I was looking for. Okay, well, since that's not going to help us, where else? I think we should go to that Big Green Ball restaurant. They're bound to have food, Justin suggested. I'm not sure their food would still be good. What's that place called anyways? I answered. I don't think I've ever known the name of it. I just always seen it when passing through the city, Justin added. Well... Even though their food may not be any good, it may be not such a bad idea, I added. What the fuck are we going to do it for if not for food? A candlelit MRE? Gizmo sarcastically asked. I'm scrolling, sorry. No, dumbass. It's one of the highest points in the city. We can actually see where we may want to go, I stated. Gizmo was quiet for one of the first times that I could remember. Everyone else was rolling their sleeping bags up and getting their bags packed into a place. We can't even go, even if we wanted to, Steven added. Why is that, Justin asked. Because it's ran off an elevator and they don't have power, he answered. I've got a better idea. Let's go go to some of the shops, I suggested. For what, Howard asked. To replace some weapons, to sharpen the ones... we have, or whatever else we can do there, I answered. Out fucking standing, Gizmo chimed in while brushing his thumb across his dull blade. Let's get a move on the day then, I suggested as I shoved my own sleeping bag into my backpack. My computer's freezing up, so we're going to have to stop there.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I was reading ahead of you, too, and I was, you know, waiting. Anyway.
I keep trying to scroll up, and it keeps freezing. I actually need a new laptop, and, you know, it keeps acting up, and I'm really scared that I'm going to go to, like, get another laptop, and I'm going to try to move this over to another laptop, and I'm going to lose it all, and it's
going to
end up being, like, a real bad deal. We live right off a dirt road now, so there's, like, no keeping anything clean, and every time, you know, the door opens or anything else, my computer is completely full of dust and all.
And totally freezing. That's okay. You know, we had a guest on one time, and this is pretty funny. We were doing an, I guess we would call it an interactive reading where he assigned characters to me and James and, you know, himself. And I did not even look at it ahead of time. I don't know. For some reason, I was thinking maybe my character would have, like, two lines, and that was it. You know, come to find out, she had, like, a million lines. But, you know, so I'm over here trying to scroll, and every time I would hit the button, it would scroll, like, uncontrollably, and then I would have no idea where we were. It was so embarrassing. It really was. But I think
I have to say, you know, I was going to say that you covered very well, but you didn't. It was.
No, I didn't. It was horrible.
You were an embarrassment, to be honest. But it made it funny. It was. It made it all the more fun. Although it wasn't meant to be funny, but it was.
Yeah, I bring the comedic. I bring the comedy to the show. It's
yes, you do.
Well, you know, you could have made up characters and made you do improv.
That would have been great.
But I still, my favorite line, I think, and I have to say it more often, and I'm going to give a shout-out to Andy Pelequin for this, and they're all rot. It's all rot. It was
yes,
all rot.
It's all
That's
rot.
What, I love that. Yes,
yeah,
I think those are my
rot. Very, very British. Very British phrase. That. What a lot
and
of rot.
Yes, and I can't really. I don't have. I can't do accents at all. So you know, you have to take it in my normal voice. But it's all rot. I like that. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I got a short story that's going into a British anthology that's coming out. R.L. Chambers is actually putting that together, and then I also just sent up a story. To Mick Franklin that's putting out one.
Oh, wow.
So that's actually some other new things that'll be coming around here.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, he needs to take a look at the Hellbound website there for some anthologies he could submit.
We have a British one coming out, but it is strictly British authors only. So, sorry.
But we always have lots of good anthologies. I'm partial to Shopping List. I think the covers for Shopping List are really pretty badass. I like them.
Do you know
lot.
People like people love Shopping List? It's just a great simple premise, but it people love that. And it's great anthologies as well. We're actually putting Shopping List 3 together as we speak. So we've got subs coming in for that. We've not even announced. Oh God, I've blabbed it now, haven't I? officially announced. We stuck it on the website, just sort of it's just there. Just be there for when we're announcing it. And people have found it, sending submissions in already. So which is brilliant.
Wow.
Which is brilliant. Mm.
Yeah.
The Second Horror Squad anthology that. That'll be coming out this year, and I have actually already got, I think, 3 stories that's been submitted for that, and I don't think they're even due till like, November.
Wow,
yeah.
I don't know where you find the time, you know, between sleeping and baseball, and I don't have any time. I don't. You know, I get up at noon.
You have a packed life,
you know,
Xtina. You really do.
I know. Get up at noon. There's baseball on at 1. By the time it's over with, it's nap time. So
right. Okay. I'm going to start. You're boring me now. So how about we do 11 questions with TJ?
I was just going to ask if TJ would do 11 questions with me.
Sure.
Okay.
Yay.
Here we go.
And now, 11 questions.
Okay, number 1, what is your best or worst movie that you ever saw?
Ooh, well, the best movie I think I've ever seen was Pumpkinhead, and the only reason I'd say that is because it was the very first horror movie I ever watched that I thoroughly enjoyed.
I've never seen that.
Really?
I
thought that was pretty awesome. The worst, my wife actually went to the store, and she just decided that... it was a horror movie, and she was going to just, you know, buy it out of, you know, high hope, and that was the movie called Slave, and I thought that was just the crappiest movie ever. I think it was more of a porno than a movie.
I'll be sure to stay away from that one. What was the first grown-up horror novel that you read?
Grown-up, huh? I don't know. I'd probably have to say maybe The Watchers by Dean Koontz.
That's a good one. I love Dean Koontz. What's your favorite cuss word?
Probably fuck. I say it all the time.
I think that should be everyone's.
Good choice.
We had an author on a couple of weeks ago, and didn't he say his favorite cuss word was a fudge? And I was like, that's not a cuss word.
It
was kind of cute, though. What would be the worst way you can imagine yourself dying?
Actually, my biggest fear is drowning.
I'm right there with you. That's out of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine came from like a childhood memory of almost drowning, and
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's pretty rough.
Let's see, what was your very first pet?
I had a dog named Bear. It was a chow.
Who was your biggest influence, either in writing or just in life generally?
I'd say that. Probably everyone's is probably Stephen King as far as writing, because, I mean, he's accomplished so much. Well,
yeah.
I guess depending on which field, you know, J.K. Rowling's kind of taken off into the extreme big leagues. But I think growing up, it would have definitely had to have been Stephen King.
Yeah. If you were God for a day, what would you do?
Oh, I'd bless me in something. I'm not sure.
I always want to know if this question is it's capital G, so it's, you know, God, not just a God. Okay, that makes a difference. All right. Right. Okay, now who or what is the crappiest horror or supernatural being that you can think of?
Man, that's a pretty tough one.
Right.
I don't really know. I'd say the newest Leprechaun. He was pretty shitty.
Yes.
I can't see where that would be creepy at all. To be honest, I didn't see any of the Leprechaun movies or whatever. But
I think Leprechaun 3 was slated as one of the worst movies ever made. So.
Wow.
Something like
that.
Yeah.
I mean. They were all more, you know, kind of humor than horror. But, you know, by the time they came out with the latest one, it was real, real bad. And it didn't even relate to any of the old ones.
And I must say, every time I ask this question to one of our horror authors, I'm a little leery. If it were legal to do so, would you eat human flesh?
Well, if it was kind of one of those, you know, the survival type things, I mean, I am a hunter. I do eat, you know, hunt and kill many things. So, you know,
sure.
I guess if it came down to survival, I guess they'd just have to suffer that one.
Okay, then. who is your favorite member of the British royal family?
I don't know.
That's a good answer. I didn't know either the first time I had these questions. I had no clue. So that's a good answer. I accept that answer. I'm not going to hit the buzzer just yet. which is your favorite franchise? Halloween, Friday the 13th, Elm Street, Hellraiser, or Saw?
Oh, man, that's hard. You know, Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees are probably my all-time favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of rough between them. But then, I don't know, I am a huge, huge fan of Pinhead.
Good choice. Good choice. Have you seen the new Hellraiser? The newest?
I actually have. Me and my wife bought that on Amazon
a few days ago. What do you think?
You know, I think they did an excellent job. you know, I don't know. I think they did a pretty good job. It followed along with a lot of the other stuff that, you know, they had before. And, you know, it's kind of like the Silent Hill. I'm really ecstatic if they'll do a three on that one. I'm a huge Silent Hill fan as well. To me, it's just different, you know. It's bringing in the new world. It's bringing in, you know, kind of new monsters, which, you know, to me, Pyramid Head's not exactly scary, but, you know, the world itself, you know, it kind of brings it out there. And Hellraiser, you know, they kind of have their own little world, and, you know, they bring that whole pleasure and pain.
All right, let's see. Number 12, what is your least favorite part of the writing process?
Oh, the synopsis. I absolutely hate writing synopsis.
You're the first person who said that. Most people say the editing part is their worst favorite.
I hate an editor to edit my stuff, so I don't really have to go through the roughing of that, you know. I mean, but I don't know. You know, you're taking an entire book and you're having to sum it up in very little. Mm-hmm.
Right,
and you want
it
to be something that it really kind of grabs their attention, but something that kind of sums up the whole book. And to me, that's just really hard to sum up an entire book into, like, you know, a couple sentences or a paragraph, you know?
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Bonus question is just for me. Baseball or stamp collection?
I'm not a baseball fan.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah, no, for stamps.
Football.
Awesome.
He didn't say stamps. He just said he wasn't a baseball fan.
I'm going to claim that one for stamps.
Not the same.
You know, I don't know. I watch football. And I've barely even got to watch any of that this year because, I mean, between the moving and working and all that. And so, I mean, that hadn't actually been something I've been able to follow. I got to learn that my teams weren't going to the Super Bowl or anything. So I was like, well, no point in watching now.
that's the spirit.
I want to thank you so much for coming back on the show, TJ, and we definitely need to have you back. You know, I think it's been like, you know, year and a half, 2 years since the first time you're on, so we definitely have to do it again sooner. But before you go, can you tell us where we can find you online?
Sure. Best place to find me is on my website, and that's www.tjweeks.com.
Awesome. We do have your links put up on our Facebook page. If anybody wants to stalk TJ, they can go there and do that. And again, thank you for coming back on the show. And you have to promise to come back and see us.
Oh, I definitely will. I definitely enjoyed this conversation.
Next, when you come on next, can you bring ribs, please?
Yes.
I will definitely.
I want ribs.
Try.
I really, really want ribs now. So there you go. So, no, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, TJ.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Awesome. I can't believe it. Yeah, he was back in the early days. So,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a long
time is flying by. Anywho, it is that time. So, we're going to have a break. We'll be back with Becky the Reviewer and India and a very special guest. And I'm still... literally beside myself with excitement. So, let's have a break, shall we?
The Panic Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Doc! Welcome back to part two.
It is part two of, well, two parts, really. So, did you crack open another bottle of wine, Exceda?
I sure did, yeah. Definitely. That's why I love Thursdays. I get to drink a lot. And, you know, and I pretend
it's
that it's
more of a continuation for you, though, isn't it? You sort of just, you know, all flows into one, really.
Mm. Yeah, but I can rationalize it more on Thursdays. I can. You know, this is for work. I'm doing this, you know, for work. We need to do a podcast every night. That's my solution, every night.
You die of cirrhosis of the liver within a year and a half.
Yeah. I never do.
I think there was one week, I can't remember what the occasion was, that I decided to have a beer.
No beer for you. Well, actually, no monsters for you, because you react as if you're, you know, drinking, which is it's kind of fun. It was kind of fun, I have to admit. It was.
It just livens me up a little bit, but I try not to do that too much as well, because you know it's
I've never
not
had
healthy.
An energy drink ever. I've never had one.
No.
Well, nope.
I find them quite useful. You know, occasionally I'll sort of have one, and you know, if I'm sort of flagging during the day, especially if I've had a late night or not slept well, and I sort of usually about, you know, 1-2 o'clock, and I'll start flagging something. Either I'll have a nap, or I'll swig a monster, and it perks me right up.
You know, I joke around about, you know, sleeping all the time and everything, but I don't need to be perked up. I think I more need a sedative than, you know, perking up.
To be
so.
Fair, I think you sleep more than our ferret does, and they sleep 18 hours a day, so I think you actually got the ferret beaten, to be honest.
Goals. You have to have goals.
There you go. So, hey, speaking of goals, he said with Will's clumsy segue.
Hey, looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
See, I didn't forget you this evening, Becky. How are you, Mom?
I'm fine. How are you?
Come on, Becky. Join in. Oh, dear. You know, just
fine.
Chip in. Chip in, fine. I'm fine, y'all.
and I'm like you, Xtina, I never drank Monster either, but I cannot imagine me drinking one, because
I can't do coffee.
Tranquilizer dart.
Yeah, like I can't do coffee. It makes me jittery. So I'm figuring an energy drink would be the same thing. And
It's usually just a big infusion of caffeine and B12, and it perks me up. I like it. Usually I try not to do it too often, but you know, if I've had a heavy night or a really busy day or whatever, you know, and I just need that little bit of a boost, then I'll wait one down. But so Becky, what have you got for us this evening, my dear?
Well, actually, we're going to talk about one of those books that has those pointy things in it that you are opposed to. But
he loves poemy things. What are you talking about?
I just like how she says poems.
Poems.
I just love that. Poems. I'm reading some poems I have.
Actually, the book is called Insights to Evil Insides, and it's written by Sadie Whitecoat, and it's published by Hellbound Books Publishing.
Yay! We should have a cheer. Should have an audience cheer. Hang on.
Yeah, we do. We need one.
Here we go. There you go. Moving on.
Thank you. There are 246 poems that make up this amazing dark and twisted book. Poems.
Yeah.
This book is all lovingly put together by a really amazing lady who can reach into your soul and rip your guts out through your ear. And that is no lie. I mean,
that is a shitload of metaphors, isn't it? That's all the metaphors ever. But I have read some of this book, and as you know, as the listener knows, I'm not a big poemy person, but It is some deep, dark stuff. I mean, it
yeah.
touched me in
yeah.
Special ways.
Yeah.
Not Jared from Subway sort of way, but it touched me in special ways. It's incredibly well. Like you say, I mean, she just somehow manages to grab hold of your soul and wrench it out through your bottom. It's just unbelievable.
It does. I mean, it's truly brilliant poetry. It really is. I mean, there's such a mix of style and emotion, and you know, you just
can't
put it down.
And she raps, too. That's awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
I know.
Is critical, but I think what I like about it is a lot of it is based on personal experiences, and I'm not going to spoil it. She's been through a hell of a lot, and you can tell it's coming from her soul, which is just remarkable.
Exactly,
you know?
And that makes such a difference.
So, how many Becky stars?
Oh, it's a definite solid 9. I mean, it's really good.
I like a nine.
Just for you.
Thank you.
And I believe if I'm not mistaken, isn't the cover artwork she made?
Yes. Her own artwork. Yes.
Okay. I thought it was.
She is one incredibly talented young lady, yeah. Yeah,
yes, I
wanted to she really is.
She has signed her second book with Hellbound as well, and I can't wait to
I want
to
read it.
Yeah, because I read some of it, not the whole thing yet, but I have read some, and it is, you can definitely tell that she's grown as a writer. It's going to be just as amazing as it is. And she has a signing this weekend, Saturday,
yes.
is it, or Sunday? I can't remember which. But
next week, it's Saturday the 24th, she has a signing.
Really?
So,
okay, anyway.
Yes, really.
Yeah.
I know you don't believe me. Would I lie about that? Would I, seriously?
No, you wouldn't.
No.
You wouldn't.
No,
I thought
it
was this weekend for some reason. But if any of our listeners
clearly you did,
are in
but
Canada,
it's not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. But if any of our listeners are in Canada, you know, you're going to...
Pop in.
So, hey. So, as an extra special treat, because it is spring break, we have an addition to, and I'm going to play the jingle again, addition to Review Corner.
Oh, hey.
Yay.
Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
It's India Corner. Say hi.
Hello. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for being there, listeners. So, India is going to read a little bit from...
Hey, let me see.
Oh, sorry. I'll shut up then. Go on.
All right, so,
I don't know.
In school, my friend's been reading this book. It's called Took, and I wanted to read it, and so...
She's reading it. What's it called?
It's called Took. I already said that.
Well, Took. I wasn't paying attention. I was thinking something. My attention had literally in that sort of 5 seconds, my attention had wandered, so I'm too sorry. So you're going to read a little bit for us and then tell us a little bit about the book, yeah?
Yeah, so I'm on chapter 2, and so I'll read 1.5.
Go for it.
Right. While we waited on the porch, Dad fishes a big old-fashioned key out of his pocket. With a lot of effort, he finally got it to turn in the lock. Moonlight followed us and cast our shadows across the dusty floor. In front of us, stairs led to the second story. Mom flicked a switch and the shadows fled. To the right was the living room, or maybe the parlor, empty now except for a fireplace. Three tall windows with old-fashioned wavy glass reflecting us standing in the hallway, slightly disordered like people in a funhouse. Where's our furniture? Erica asked. It's coming tomorrow, Mom told her. But where are you sleeping? She asked, sounding a bit tearful. Don't you remember us? Dad asked. We brought our camping stuff, sleeping bags, foam mats, pillows, blankets. Can I sleep with Mommy? Of course you can. Mom put her arm around Erica and hugged her. I was getting pretty tired of Erica clinging behavior. What's wrong with you? I whispered. You never used to act like this. I never had to live in the woods before. She turned to Mom. Are we going to eat wild berries? Of course not, sweetie. Dad said, whatever gave you that idea? That's what happens sometimes in stories. Well, this isn't a story, Erica, Mom said. Dad got an
ancient
gas stove going, and Mommy heated a pot of water. Then it boiled. She dumped in noodles and heated a jar of marinara sauce. We ate our first meal in the house, picnic style, in front of the fire. Erica snuggled beside the Mom and shared her food with a little Erica.
And that's all we have time for.
Yay!
Beautifully read. Beautifully. And I have to say, I am so proud that she brought this. This is a ghost story. She also brought a werewolf story as well.
Yeah.
So, proper little horror fiend, aren't you?
Yeah. It's because, all the other books that are supposed to be, like level N, which that's the reading level I'm on, they're, really easy. I'll get, at independent reading time, I'll just get done and, like that. And so I decided...
That's the problem. Yeah, she's having to read books that the older kids have because she's the... All the other kids are still looking at picture books, it's great, and to be fair, she could have chosen any genre, but she's gone with horror, which is brilliant.
I caught it from you.
It is.
Yes, you did. It's obvious that's where you got it from. Obviously where we got it from. And so, what is your favorite horror film you've seen so far?
I think my favorite would have to be. It.
It not Annabelle Creation.
No, that one.
She's seen it twice, and both times she jumped out of her skin at the scary bits, even knowing what was coming. That made it worse because she was it's coming. She was anticipation, and then. you must see it. It's actually better than the original Annabelle. Annabelle
I
Creation
got bored.
Is.
I didn't care
original
for
Annabelle,
Annabelle,
you got bored, didn't you? Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
but Annabelle Creation is. It will make you jump out of your skin, literally.
I almost pooped my pants.
No, she did. Nearly poop her pants. It was almost poopage. So that's a good film. It's a mark of a good film.
Can I say something?
Yes, you can. You say.
When you were talking about coffee, how you sometimes drink it. It's not a sometimes. It's whenever you wake up.
I can't start my day without at least two coffees just to get going. Really,
he drinks two coffees, guys. Two coffees.
That's just to start my day. That's just to really just get things going a little bit. You know, it's funny. I thought I'll be healthy.
That's
I've got
why
this,
you can't
called,
sit still.
It is. It's called Energy, and it's like cranberry drink from the people who do cranberry drinks, and it's got B12 in it, so it's a bit of a. And I drink one of those first thing in the morning. It gives me just enough energy to put the kettle on for my coffee. So.
Oh my gosh! I
need at least two. It could well be.
Yeah.
Could be the caffeine. I'm trying to ease off on it actually, but. Not that. I drink a lot of water during the day, so I'm trying not to drink too much coffee. But mornings, I always have from being, that's funny, from about India's age, I've always relied on coffee to get me going in the morning.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. There you go. Yeah. So, hey, thank you, Becky, and thank you, India.
You're welcome.
It has been. And so it's time to say goodbye to review. Can you say goodbye, India?
Oh, bye.
why do I have to leave?
You can stay, but
I'm too awesome to leave.
You're too awesome. You can do the show. I really don't care.
I'm
taken over from me. But so Becky, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
and don't forget, Xtina has a release party tomorrow.
Yeah. I was gonna mention
I had forgotten. So thank you you're gonna have to remind me like an hour before as well tomorrow. You know that, so make sure you do.
Sir,
yeah,
I do.
Right, you know, we'll speak to you later.
All right,
bye,
okay,
y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
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 So I hope I've got rid of Becky. Oh, Xtina's still there. So, right. So, did you want to say something? What?
But I wanted everybody to be. I wanted to see on a scale to 1 to 100 how much people think I'm adorable.
Okay. Well, get people to call in or email in how adorable India is. So.
Please give me an.
I'm gonna say 100. 100.
100. Yeah, you know, I wouldn't. Yeah, you'd have to live with her. You'd have to live with her. She's terrible to live with, to be honest.
Rude.
So, what's happening next? Do you know? I don't know. I'm all over the place. Sit. Seriously, no, you can listen in. Just sit.
I don't care.
You gonna sit? You all right? God, never worked with animals and children. As W.C. Fields said that. So we have, yes, it is special guest time. So here we go. Here's the intro for our special guest. Are you listening in? No? Well, India, put that down. Seriously, if you're going to be in here, you can't be fit because it will pick up everything. Put that down. If you're not listening in, you're not going to sit quietly, you need to go. Okay, give me a love. Really, really well. It's our special guest. It's Xtina.
Wow, what an intro.
Wow.
I loved that. That was great.
Yay. Yes. I am aware you heard me packing my daughter off because she was fiddling with things. You know, what is it? She was always starts fiddling with she and you wonder where she gets it from.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I cannot imagine being in a room with both of you at like maybe church or something. Oh my goodness, that would be
that's a scenario that will never happen. But
okay, a funeral. How about a funeral?
Yeah, we. She's sadly a chip off the hop. She's like, I can't sit still.
Yeah.
A brother can. He can sit literally and do nothing, but she's just fiddling. So, yeah, apologies for that. I think I didn't mute myself well enough. And but she's got. She was going to get bored, so I didn't want to fiddling around with shit and whatnot. So, yeah, special guest, it's you,
which is.
And I think we need another one. So, Xtina is here to talk to us about the exciting relaunch of Light Musings, which is the companion to Dark Musings, funnily enough. And this has been a long time in the works. It is revised, it is revamped and padded out and lots more stuff and all exciting. So tell us a bit more about it.
Well, you know, I always ask all the guests about a tagline, and I love my tagline, girly, not gory. Come on, that's cute. That really is cute.
It is. It is cute.
Yeah. No, Lay Musings, it has been totally revamped. I even revisited each of the poems and kind of tightened them up and everything and made them a little bit better. The cover is, I'm so happy with it. I am. The cover I had before, I just was never happy with, and I think
it was a bit meh.
It was. It really was. This cover it catches your eye. I'm really happy with it. So the whole book, I can't wait. I'm excited about it. And you know, I think that it's weird for, you know, I put out Dark Musings, and I just thought every poem in that was just so great, and the whole idea with, you know, Dark Musings. And I think that I never really gave Light Musings a chance because, you know, most of my fans are the horror community, and, you know, they're going to like these, you know, love poems, but, you know, I don't know. I think my work stands for itself. So if you like poetry, you know, give Light Musings a chance, because there is darkness in it as well, which
that's inevitable, knowing you. You know, but it needs to be read alongside, I think, Dark Musings, because it is literally, you know, black and white, chalk and cheese, etc. You know, good writing is good writing, and no matter what it pulls you in and carries you along, so, which is great.
I can't wait. I'm actually really excited. We have the release party tomorrow, and then it's official, like, release date or whatever for the new book is the 21st. I picked that out because that is the first day of spring, and that's also, it's my daughter's birthday. Okay, my daughter's gonna be 20.
Oh,
can you believe that? I'm not old enough to have a 20-year-old daughter. I know.
No, you
I'm
are.
Only 20
to be honest. Yes, you
no,
are. No, to be fair, you're getting on a bit now. So yeah, I can well believe that you have a 20-year-old daughter. So.
Whatever, I doubt any of our listeners there would agree with you. I am, anyway, moving right along. I have to say, so I was going to read a couple of the poems from
Oh, could you?
This. Yeah, well, see, and here's a funny story, is that, you know, anytime I have to read out loud, I do get a little nervous, and I start reading fast, and I was talking to his boyfriend about this tonight, and I was telling him about India, you know, how she comes on the show and she reads for us, and he's like, you're not going to let a 9-year-old show you up, are you? So,
to be fair, it's even more humiliating because she's not 9 yet, so she's actually 8, so only for a couple more weeks before she's 9, but that's even more humiliating. I'm sure you will do admirably. You'll do admirably.
Yeah, I'm going to try here. And don't get, you know, don't start fiddling. You have to, you know, be still, okay? Can you be still?
I really will. You're lucky I'm not. I was going to bring the ferret down. I should play with the ferret while you were reading, but I promise I will sit still, I promise.
Okay, this first one is called Our Love, and it's a very special one to me. So, here we go. Our love is crazy, and all around me sparks the magic. My mind is madness since you wrecked all this havoc. Our love is scary, but you've chased away the fears, slayed the dragons, and made the monsters disappear. Our love is new, exciting, and chaotic. My brain is fuzzy, and you leave me hypnotic. Our love is old, I've known you before. I'm completed only when you walk through my door. Our love is rare, like a precious jewel. You're my engine, and your push my fuel. Our love is blind and my eyes have clouded over, but that's all right, I've taken you with me, my lover. Our love is real, concrete, tangible, but still a mystery, magical. Our love is intense, consuming and insane, but without you, my love, I'm in so much pain. Our love is insatiable, I can never get my fill. I'm addicted to you and your love, my pill. Our love is forever, beyond death. I'll think of you only as I take my last breath. See, and that's what I mean by there's still darkness. You know, I'm talking about being addicted you know, beyond death and my last breath. I always have to do that. So, you know, I have some kind of a, you know, death thing happening because, you know, I'm going to take you with me, you know, to, you know, the next life, whether you want to or not. That's pretty much what I'm saying. You know?
Well, that's really romantic in its own sort of scary way.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, exactly. And I was going to do three, but I think I'm going to settle with just two. How's that? Is that okay?
Quit while you're ahead, huh?
Yeah,
you're ahead. Right. So, I mean, I have to ask, sorry, what?
Oh, I hadn't read the second one yet, if you know. I mean, I know you were wandering, your mind was wandering, but I had a short one here. This is I wanted to give you like a really romantic like one first, and the second one here is it's kind of sexy. It's called Playtime. I know. Forbidden, taboo, is that why I want to? Burning desire, we're playing with fire. On your knees, you say, and I drop to obey. Abuse my body, make me naughty. You say harder than faster, I worship my master. You bring pleasure than pain with a dangerous game. Bite while I scratch, come light my match. I'm your pet, let me lap at your sweat. With your hands, fill me up, would you drink from my cup? Claw till I bleed, I'm yours, plant your seed.
Wow, again, pretty, I mean, dark in a romantic and sexy sort of way. That's you couldn't do sort of cutesy sort of fluffy romance if your life depended on it, could you?
Well, I disagree. I have actually. I have, and the thing is that I have finally gotten to a place where I can say I think the light is just as good as the dark, because for a long time I didn't think that. You know, I thought, oh God, it's just fluffy and nobody's going to like it. But I know I disagree now, and I think it's just as good as the darkness. And I think that we all have, you know, some darkness and, you know, the light inside of us. And I think that's what I'm trying to get at, you know, to have people see.
No, I get that. And again, having read, you know, some of the poems, as Becky would call them, you know, they're good. You know, I love the dark stuff, obviously, but
and
pride of place on my bookshelf. So, I need a signed Light Musings to go alongside it. So there you go.
Yes, as soon as definitely, because I love the new cover. I cannot wait to get it and, you know, be able to display this one as well, because it is.
Well, to
so
be
pretty.
Fair, I mean, you probably get the inside of the book as well. Not just the cover. I mean, you probably get all of it, so that's a bonus, isn't it? That's a bonus.
The whole book. I want the whole book. Yeah, definitely.
Have all of it. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I was going to ask. I mean, poetry. I mean, why?
You know, that is not even my first love. When I was a kid, I was always writing scary stories, and I wanted to be the next Stephen King. As a matter of fact, when I was in, I want to say, eighth grade. At the end of the year, they give out awards, and I won the award for best Stephen King writing style, you know, and
fantastic.
That's what I wanted. Yeah, that's what I wanted to be, was a horror writer. And it wasn't until probably age 16, you know, going through the first heartbreak and stuff, I remember sitting in a dark room with a candle lit and just being heartbroken, and I was going to write this scary-ass poem. And, you know, I don't know, that it for me, poetry was, I have a poet friend, and, you know, she says that poetry is what her heart bleeds when, you know, she's not looking. And that's kind of, you know, the same for me as well. I mean, it's something that when I'm going through something, when I'm upset, I can write a poem and I feel better. I, you know, kill the boyfriend in a poem or, you know, something like that. It makes me feel better. It does.
I think, yeah, I mean, there's something very raw and undiluted in poetry.
Yep.
It's more visceral. I mean, I think I've written one poem. You know, it is, because the way my brain works is I building the picture, building the scene, and not padding it out. That's not the right phrase to use. But using words, using, you know, as many words as you need to build the scene, to put the reader's mind there. with poetry, you know, you could do that with literally, or you know, a five word line of a poem that would probably take me half a page, you know, and it's just that careful selection of words. Not, I'm not overly verbose like some writers, Anne Rice,
right,
looking at you, you know, but I guess it is different style. But I've always envied poets and the way they can just evoke the same gut reaction that it takes me, you know, pages to
do.
And
also,
so,
it's like a play. It's like you're playing with the words. I know that there's been times that I'll have this amazing line come to me, and then because I rhyme, not all poets rhyme, of course, but I do. And there are many times that I'll have a great first line, and then I'm like, okay, I have to find something to rhyme with this, and I can't find anything, so I'll have to rearrange the sentence.
Yeah.
And that's
I think that's what did me, you know, my poem about oranges just didn't work, so I just gave up.
Right.
But apparently borange is not a proper word, which is ridiculous.
No, it's not. But and I do something a little different, I think. It's called narrative poetry, and it's a form of poetry that tells a story. And in each of my poems...
Isn't that just a short story, then?
Well, but it's in a poetry form, so it rhymes. It sounds, you know, lyrical, and... I build a story. I have like a, you know, usually I have like a beginning, middle, and end to each of my poems. And this is what I found interesting. And it's happened now to me every single time I've gone to put, I'll have a group of poems. And on their own, that's all they are, is just a group of poems. And then I will start putting them in some kind of order. I'll have, you know, paper in front of me, and I'll have, you know, here's poems. And I start to order them. And they start to create a storyline, and it's so weird. I mean, when it first happened with Dark Musings, I thought that was amazing, and I could kind of understand why, because of what I had gone through writing it. Now, with Light Musings, I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to pull off something like that again, so I'm not even going to really try. But then when I started putting the poems together in order, after ordering them, again, a story started to kind of like form, and I don't know. That's just so cool to me. And I don't know if a lot of people know, but I do have another book that's going to be out later on this year. And the same thing happened. I had a group of poems, and that's all they are on their own, is a group of poems. But I started ordering them, and lo and behold, there comes a story. And it's just so cool when that happens. You know, I see a lot of the poets that, you know, put out books, and all their poems are like in alphabetical order or something like that. Well, you can read mine. It's almost like a story you're reading, you know, but it rhymes.
Fantastic. Yeah. So, yeah. So when is that due out? Is that sort of fall time?
Yeah. Tentatively, we're looking at the fall, but I want to focus on Light Musings right now. I have to give Light Musings a chance to.
You should. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Focus on the Dark Musings, baby sister Light Musings, and hope that it does just as well, because, you know, Dark Musings is special, and I want this one to be special too. And I think now finally, you know, it will be. It will be all it should have been. And I'm happy with the poems. I did go back, and there's bonus material in there, and there's all the poems have been tightened up a little bit. There was a time, and I'm going to say this with Dark Musings, when I wrote a poem, however it came out the first time, that is how it ended up in the book. I did not go back. I didn't, you know, fix anything. That's just how it was. I mean, typos, of course, but, you know, as far as the wording went. And I think that was my ego saying, you know, it's perfect the way it is. It's raw. It's, you know, but now I do go back, and I have a lot of fun playing with each line, trying to get it, you know, as basic, but it says as much as it can, but it's still, you know, I cut down anything that doesn't need to be there. And it's a fun process. It really is. It's the first time I've done
awesome.
It. So I think that, yeah.
So, I mean, how did it feel to go back and edit and tighten up and all the rest of it?
You know, I was actually thinking about doing that with Dark Musings, because I never have. I mean, those poems, like I said, as soon as I penned them, that's how they were and that's how they stayed. And for both Light Musings and the new book, well, it's not, you know, whatever, those poems, I have been over and over tightening up each and every line to make them that much more readable, that much more, like, you know, there. I think there might be a very few poems, but in Dark Musings, that you might have read and just, you couldn't quite get the cadence or the, you know, how, what am I rhyming here? You know, what is the, you know, how am I supposed to be reading this? But that is definitely something that you will not see probably in Light Musings or the new stuff, because I've just been very careful to tighten up each line. And that, you know, a lot of people say that editing is, that's their what they hate the most in their own writing. But I have to say for my own stuff now, it's been a fun process. It really is, because you have the ideas down. But then you can go in there and play the words a little bit and just fix them and make them even better. So I'm really proud of Light Musings. I am. So.
Awesome. Well, that's available what now?
Actually, it is available now for anybody who's going to be at the release party tomorrow. The book is up, and it's up there with all the new stuff and the new cover and everything. Yeah, so go to Amazon and buy it. Do it now. And
buy the book, people.
Definitely. And then usually we ask, you know, the guests where we can find them online, and I'm all over social media, on my Facebook page. You started demoning it out on us, so let's see. I have a Facebook page. It's The Dark Poet Princess. I'm on Amazon as Xtina Marie. I'm on Twitter at Xtina0321. And then my website is The World of Xtina Marie. And I think that we are out of time, but I thank everybody for listening. And James is, you know, he's a demon right now, so I don't think...
Well, am I still a demon?
Yeah, he's still a demon. So I think we're out of time. So is this where, you know, we say goodnight, Xtina? So... Good night, Xtina.
Good night.
Whenever life gets you down, Mrs. Brown, and things seem hard or tough, and people are stupid, obnoxious, or daft, and you feel that you've had quite enough, just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving and revolving at 900 miles an hour. That's orbiting at 19 miles a second, so it's reckoned the sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day in an outer spiral arm at 400,000 miles an hour, in a galaxy we call the Milky Way. Our galaxy itself contains 500 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 6,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 1,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 million years. And our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe. In all of the directions it can whiz, as fast as it can go, at the speed of light, you know, 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So remember, when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly unlikely is your birth. And pray that there's intelligent life somewhere out in space, cause there's bugger all down here on Earth.